Oh, you want to go?
I just realized I forgot to unmute the meeting when we started. But yeah, now we're recording where everything's good. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Mr. Northrup, I'd forgotten to unmute the meeting. Did you wish to make any public comment?
No, not at this time. Thanks.
Okay, so I don't know if this is me being too stingy, but it says on, where did I catch it? Or think of it? In the original draft on page 7, it says that dispose of waste properly with the land use LRS. And I was thinking, could we, since presumably all the yard waste is compost, right? So could
Yes,
this
that is
say
correct. And
compost?
so, yeah, this is 3-3-5B, correct? The removal of waste.
Yes.
So that is all existing law, an
Oh,
existing
okay.
ordinance. The underlying stuff is what's new in that section, and then the new section below that is that's not underlined is all new.
Oh, I misread that.
So
Okay.
yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I realize everyone might not be as well versed at reading ordinance proposals. So yeah, anything stricken through is existing language that is being deleted. Anything underlined is being added. The rest is just existing language that's staying the same. And then the new section, that second section titled leaf blower use, is all new. So we would need to find a section of the code for that to be located in specifically.
I just want to double check that I understand correctly. Just above the new section, C and D there. Okay, so
That's all new, correct.
the next year, we're talking about just having to use electric leaf blowers between June and October 1st, and then the following year, you have to use them year round.
That
Or
is for landscape contractors to receive the reimbursement incentive.
oh,
So we, the new section establishes the general usage
okay.
of leaf blowers, which is you can still use gas power at any point last year, but you can only use them at half speed during that summer season. And then going forward in 2026, then it would mandate only electric during the summer months from June 1st to October 1st.
Okay. Thank
And
you.
then to sort of incentivize further adoption among landscape contractors, they could commit to going electric during that seasonal 1 year early and receive a rebate,
Okay.
or from then on going all electric to receive a rebate.
Okay, thanks for clarifying.
Guess I had a few thoughts or kind of questions as to how you guys were thinking about it. I know we talked last time about some ideas to allow for funds to be available, like kind of grants for landscapers to purchase equipment and also to sort of assemble a potential group to kind of provide additional input on things. And I guess just wondering if that was something that we should be contemplating in the sort of language of the, well, either if we still think that's a good idea collectively, and if so, if that needs to be addressed in the language of that, or if that's something that we could sort of have an initiative outside of the language in the, in the ordinance.
In terms of any kind of grant money, we didn't discuss that at all when we were together. But you know, I live few houses away from Mr. Kelty, so I see him in the alley quite a bit. And so he did tell me, I don't know, about a week ago that he had gathered up some of the other players, bigger players within the our community here, and they are. I had asked him to do it before. In fact, at the meeting and then after that again, and he said they are pulling together a letter of what their thoughts are, and he'll get that to us. He'll drop it off to me. Yeah, he hasn't done that yet, but I'll follow up with him. So, you know, the discussion that I had with when Susan was there, as well as with Jason, was a couple steps here first. One, we want to at least amongst ourselves agree on some basic draft, right? And that's what we're doing here. And then from that, also want to get the feedback from the survey and then overlay that with the feedback we get from this group of landscapers. So hopefully we can't marry all that stuff together into something then that can flow fairly smoothly through, but at least get those inputs first. At least that's the thinking that we hadn't discussed. And that's what's going to bring that up after we kind of went through the basic document itself. So
then tonight we're kind of solidifying our approach with what we now know, but this could change based on the results. So this is at this point in time, we are hopefully all going to agree to this or something.
This is our thinking. And as you noticed,
this is our draft until we get further feedback.
Yeah, putting our thinking together. And as you notice, it also doesn't talk about a total ban yet, right? So part of this becomes, what's the technology going to tell us? What's our own progress going to tell us? To Jeff's point, once we get this feedback from the landscapers, I'd like to at least maintain some contact with them over time to say, how's this going? When can we take these next steps? So we're working with them and not just pushing something down their throat. That's kind of how I thought about it.
So I have two questions or two comments. I did hear that Winnetka just recently rolled out a leaf blower battery powered, within their city, some mandates. So I thought maybe I just heard that today. I didn't have a chance to look it up. So I don't know if we want to look at what they published as well before rolling out some of ours. And then secondly, with a background in finance, in these small organizations or these small companies, I know it's good that we don't mandate it. I'm just worried about, the expenditures and the lifetime of the equipment. If somebody buys something now, maybe we can phase it into 3 years. I don't want to push somebody where they're not paying their employees because they're trying to buy new leaf blowers. And it's good that we're not mandating a complete ban, because a lot of these, they don't have, it's basically cash business for a lot of the small guys. And I think it would be very insensitive to us to mandate a, hard stop if they are cash strapped and they have to pay employees instead of, or buy leaf blowers instead of paying employees.
Yeah. And the wording you guys tell us, but the wording we try to use, the only thing we're mandating is they have to start to move. Right. So it becomes, right, initially you can't run the thing at high speed during the summer, which they do. And then the next year it becomes, you can only use the electric during the summer period. So now they're getting some experience with it as well and how they're going to manage it. And then we can decide from there what next steps, and to your point, when, based on technology and some other feedback that we'll hopefully continually get from these people.
Well, I think also that you look at whether it's Oak Park or Winnetka or whatever, and you say, wow, we can look at like communities and here's what they're doing. But what you don't get from knowing that is what the fallout's going to be. For example, we had some people, some of the landscapers that said, I just won't do business in those communities. I'll tell my customers, I'm sorry, I can't work in Oak Park anymore because it's prohibitive cost, whatever, for me to do this. And Winnetka or whatever, until they've been at it for a year and then you see what the fallout is, I don't think we can go by say, well, X communities have done this, we can do it too, because you just don't know what the fallout's going to be.
And I've seen business cases that support the fact that this is actually, pretty quick payback for them. And, I'm talking under a year, for a landscaper, because of the fact they aren't buying the petrol, the fuel, right? And the other maintenance things that go along with that, the oils and all that kind of stuff. But I'd rather they learn that on their own than us just taking some studies that are out there and saying, well, here it is. And that's.
Well, and payback is one thing, but the comments about whether or not you can use them in the rain, and I don't know if that's, you know, nonsense or not, but, you know. Yeah, to have enough batteries to get through the day. Because I know at our house, my husband bought several tools that were all works is the name. And he bought some ridiculous number of batteries, you know, and he couldn't even get through mowing the lawn without having to change batteries. So I don't know.
Yeah, ours is the same problem. We have to swap out midway. The third thing that just, again, kind of just lingers in the back of my mind, it bothers me tremendously, is just the waste in the future of these batteries. I know everybody's just going to chuck them in the trash and not dispose properly. So I don't know. We have to, you know, be a little bit more strategic with the disposal process of these things. And obviously that's not today, but, you know, in the future, I think that's something we have to be cognizant about.
One thing that came up for me when reading over this, because I certainly agree with the language used, and I was wondering what people's thoughts would be. So for 2026, we're offering, if you're committed to using only electric leaf blowers, the reimbursement. But if there could be some middle ground, if a contractor is willing to commit to using some electric leaf blowers by 2026, maybe perhaps isn't ready to fully commit to only electric leaf blowers, but if there's some kind of reimbursement besides the $125 that could be set, or if we think there would even be interest in that.
Just from an administrative perspective, I would just be curious how that enforcement would be done, whereas, you know, with how this is written now, like I can let our, you know, code enforcement person, you know, like, hey, if you see, you know, for example, next year, if you see these businesses, they sign up for the rebate. If they're using gas powered in the summer months, they need to be fined or please make note of it or something like that. Whereas that, it would just be difficult to parse through, like, how much they use, or it would just be difficult to find a way to have the stick and the carrot there, so to speak. Does that make sense? Any further comments?
One last comment on E through let's say B, but I'm just thinking, like, I wonder, not to put you on the spot, or you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but what was the, because, like, how I think about it, which might not be true because I haven't done research on it, but I'm thinking that leaf blowers and the landscaping portion would be, if the fire department was using it, it would be the same amount of, it wouldn't increase the speed. So what's the benefit, I guess?
So the exceptions section, this was carried over from our first draft, which was carried over from the Oak Park language. So that's what this was modeled after. Currently, Village Public Works does have some gas-powered leaf blowers and is hoping to make the transition within the next year to replace those with electric-powered leaf blowers. Right now, the general policy for equipment for public works is that as gas-powered items come up for replacement, we try to replace them with battery-operated, just on a rolling basis, just when any equipment meets the end of its life. We do still maintain a few gas powered chainsaws for heavy duty stuff, but if we wanted to strike this section, I don't see any operational issues with that.
Seth, this is very specifically for unique.
Unique emergency
situations. Yeah. Day in and day out, they need to comply like everyone else.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, this was just the language that had been in the Oak Park exceptions for these emergency circumstances. I don't exactly know what the case would be, but that would just, yeah.
I can see the use for a chainsaw usage, but yeah, I just wonder if anyone else is thinking this or like, should it just stay in?
Well, maybe by the time we get it ready to present, they'll have gone all electric. We don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I would say
as a draft until we get our feedback and everything. Yeah. Why not just leave it and then we can discuss it?
This would be very specific instances of emergencies, which would.
And my guess is they will keep some in the closet just for those situations.
Yeah.
That's.
I think my only other comment might be whether we can more precisely define like the half. I mean, this is one but it's, and that's probably where we need some feedback. But.
Yeah. I had tried to look up how things were specifically worded. I found one, I think, town in New York that had very similar language and just said half speed for gas powered leaf blower use. And so I really just copied that from them.
Do they have speeds on those things where they can?
That's I think where we need probably
feedback from the landscapers.
I know. I mean, I have it.
I always thought they just went on or off, but
some have like decibels, but how do you control that? Yeah. You know, and it's like,
I mean, I know I have my leaf blower. Granted, it's an electric leaf blower, but there's the two speeds to it that off halfway and all
and
the
how
way.
Far you pull the trigger, right? So.
Like a hand mixer, has it like turbo thing.
All right, but wait a minute. With the speed thing, we're talking about the gas. Yeah, gas shall be permitted to be operated at half speed.
Yeah.
You know, if a landscaper comes back and goes, mine only has one speed. I mean, I don't know. Do the gas ones have speeds? Okay. They just sound obnoxious to me, so I'm.
But we'll try and pin that down. Did you talk to anybody in the maintenance department? What did they say?
I mean, basically what the discussion we had, Brian, our public works superintendent, Jack, our public works director, and I, is that we are going to plan to budget for next fiscal year to replace them all. And then there is a ComEd electrification grant that typically becomes available in January that we were going to target these specifically for that grant to help with the replacement costs.
In terms of how they would define speed with these things, because they use them.
Oh, yeah. That I had not. I will. Okay. Yeah.
I did find there is like a national standard, this ANSI leaf blower noise standard that could be. I didn't see there are like manufacturers that comply with it because there's some ordinances. But it's hard to tell like how common it is. But if there could potentially be a, you know, half speed or compliant with, you know, the ANSI low noise standard. I don't, again, know how common like the sort of muffled leaf blowers are, but.
Yeah. And again, I would just note this is sort of a year one half step. So that becomes too complicated. Maybe that's probably worth just revisiting the general approach.
And getting back to what you said earlier, Seth, about enforcement.
Yeah.
Do the people that run around looking and listening, can they tell if it's running at half?
So, I mean, so
how many decibels
it's our
it is?
Building and zoning inspector is generally the person. He drives around. He has issues all the time where he'll notice, you know, somebody doing landscaping work and like, oh, do they have a license? Or a house clearly undergoing renovations, like, ooh, do they have a permit? And check with our building staff, work to address the issue. And, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, first offense to a verbal warning, hey, you need a license to operate here, here's how to apply, sort of thing, and then, you know, continues to follow up and ensure compliance from there. So this would just be sort of easily incorporated into that sort of daily enforcement work that he does. And then obviously if anything is referred to, you know, PD, the community service officer, is also capable of handling these sorts of issues as well.
If I would ask anybody thinks of anything, you know, just kick Seth a note.
So is the time frame like survey, see how they get to, so like 2 months or something, 3 months? Is that what the like?
I mean, I'd like to have everything sort of, I'd reach out for feedback at next month's meeting to have them provide feedback at next month's meeting. The survey will hopefully be, and I know we'll discuss this a little bit more in detail in a bit, but hopefully be up before then and shared before then with the public for general public feedback. And we can sort of review that incrementally over the next couple months, depending on the time frame for that rollout. But, you know, Gary, feel free to jump in. I believe my intention was to at least share a draft with the contractors for them to provide their feedback at the next meeting, get a survey out for the public sooner rather than later, and then, yeah, over the next meeting or two, formulate a final draft.
So end of October-ish?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not voting on...
Not voting on
making any recommendation today on
this. Yeah, this was... All of your feedback, any sort of changes, edits to this. Yeah, obviously need to clear up the half-speed stuff, need some work. And then, yeah, just other issues to keep in mind. Going on to the next item. So I had prepared a rather long memo for you all, 6 whole pages. Obviously, we don't need to touch base on all of this today. We can continue to come revisit, and I'll just keep this in our packet over the next few months. I had basically broken down all of the recommendations from the two UIC climate reports into, I believe it was 4 categories. So, things that they made a lot of recommendations about, sharing resources, communications-based things. I did include any sort of community event-based stuff that they had suggested. So if anyone is interested in, you know, putting forward some of this stuff for the newsletter, things like that, I know Lisa sent me a bunch of things. I think we're queued up for the next few weeks. But, and then, you know, well, as well as, you know, website updates, things like that as well. Anything that's, you all think would be good to share and would be good at certain times of year. That is all recommended there. There were the two things I did want to sort of note separately in the paragraph at the end, the specialized material collection, which, you know, as we get closer to, you know, our garbage contract goes for another 3 years, 2.5 years, but as sort of an interim before any chance to incorporate that into the next waste hauling contract, any of these sort of community-based volunteer pickups. The example I gave was the D90 Green for Good styrofoam recycling event that they had in April, just finding partner events to do that sort of stuff with, in terms of any sort of special drop-off collection, specialized recycling events. And then the other I made note of is obviously the community survey, which was a recommendation from one of the two reports, just to gauge general resident knowledge on climate change topics and what they're interested in learning about. The next section just listed off strategies not recommended or not worth pursuing at this time. Various different reasons based on, you know, feasibility, previous village actions, things that are just really outside the scope of village operations. Obviously, if you all have any feedback or pushback against any of these recommendations, you are the ultimate decision makers. This was just sort of the, you know, assessment from a staff level.
Could I go back to communication for just a minute? Since absolutely. That's my shtick. It would be helpful for me, being fairly new to this group. Could we maybe have a bare bones calendar of the, there's regular things that happen at certain times of year.
Oh, right?
That would be helpful for me. And then what I was thinking to do is take that as a skeleton and maybe fill it in with some of these national days that I've discovered, like, you know, National Reuse Day or National Bring Your Cup to Work Day or whatever. And kind of construct the skeleton. So that way, I mean, I know you have some communications that you use repeatedly, but just knowing when the dates are that you want to hit for some of those special things, whether they're local things like the pumpkin smash that we do every year, you know.
Yeah, so I'm let me see if I can share my screen here.
Yeah, I know you've got the spreadsheet with all sorts of stuff.
Here we go. So yeah, and I can even share, Luis, this whole spreadsheet with you, but here's what we've run so far this year. Just based on month, here's what I've got planned for the next few weeks. I think we're using a few things from last year about school lunch, reducing plastic waste, and walking and biking to school at the start of the school year. We're getting new LED lights throughout Village Hall this week, so that will go in at the end of the month. Got the food waste.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly.
And then, yeah, sort of, you know, there's obviously these Pumpkin Smash is an annual event, bicycle exchange,
Christmas tree
collection, holiday lights collection.
Exactly. Yeah.
Some of these other ones are just sort of seasonal ones that we've plugged in. I'll
send me the spreadsheet and then I'll give
you
a spreadsheet
and then I'll give
and
you
and I'm going to construct like a skeleton.
Perfect. Yep. Will do.
Would like, this just popped into my head, but would like having things that are reoccurring, would that be good to have on the sustainability section of the website?
So we've got, yeah, I think there's like having them permanently on there. Yeah, I think that would be probably helpful. So yeah, we've got the sort of rolling calendar of as things pop up, I will add them to that. And then some stuff I'm sure is permalinked in different pages. If you go into the waste and refuse and recycling section, it'll mention the holiday pickup and things like that, the holiday greens pickup. But yeah, I think that would be a helpful one to have, is just sort of here's these annual events. Because I even get calls of, you know, when's the next electronic waste or hazardous waste event? And, you know, those are March and September and then June and October every year, so I can let them know. It might not have the exact dates, but at least they know what month these.
Yeah, but I was going to say, even if you just know what, you know, mid-June we always do blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that'd be helpful for me since I seem to be writing all of these things.
Can we maybe also incorporate like the compost date on it? You know, like the free composting, like some adding some things that aren't not necessarily on that, but important. Like the LRS has the electronic day pickup. You know, maybe we can put that on there too, because I feel like that's a couple. Is it once a year, twice a year?
Twice a year. Twice so a year. Yeah, that's March and September. Actually, you should all be receiving postcards this week for e-waste sign up. So it'll be, I think, the 16th through the 19th, and then sign up is by the 11th of September.
But it would be nice to have all the main, you know, things right on the main.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Because some of the communications, Seth just plugs in and uses the exact language because it doesn't matter when the date is, the blurb's the same. We don't have to write a new blurb. So that'd be helpful to have at all.
But yeah, I will share the full spreadsheet with you, and then yeah, we'll start to pull together a sort of.
I can't help it; it's my IT project manager chops. You know, got to have a project plan.
So yeah, and then obviously, if anyone else has any interest in any of these communications topics that you wanted to, you know, take the lead on or initiate anything with, please feel free to shoot them my way as well.
Well, I had mentioned the idea of working with the library to do some kind of stuff.
Yes.
So if everybody's good with that, I thought I'd set up a meeting, go talk to the director and kind of figure out what we might do, whether it's, you know, how they have special topics. They'll have a display of books. It's whatever, Women's History Month or whatever it may be. Maybe they'll do a display of books that all have to do with green and sustainability. Maybe there's some kind of lecture or, you know, event of some sort. I have to think about that, but and see if they have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, I think that would be great. I think, you know, I've only had a few interactions with the library, mostly waste-related issues. But no, I've only had good interactions working with them. I'm happy to partner with them, you know, on any sort of way they're looking to help the commissioner.
Yeah, and I don't know if there'd be a specific week or event to tie it to or not, but you know, I'll just see what we come up with.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, and I think hoping at least from the survey, you'll get some ideas as to what people would actually show up for too.
That's a good idea to wait for the results of that to decide. Yeah.
I saw West Coast Wild Ones in my eyes popped up. I have a connection there. She's like, she was my teacher. Oh my goodness, I'm blanking on her name, but she's cool. And I think it would be cool to do like a community walk of.
And I know they've done, I think they did a garden walk in Riverside and Berwyn a couple of years ago. So I know they've done similar things in the past. They might have even done some before my time with the village here in the village. So yeah, any sort of events like that that you all are interested in were, yeah.
Yeah, so the one that struck me, and I'm always for planting stuff, but I didn't understand it. I don't know what a heritage tree is. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means to
think it's
to the ordinances.
I don't have the full report in front of me. It would basically be expanding upon our tree ordinance, and it would have special designations for specifically like very old trees. Oh. And this would go into, private property trees as well, is what the recommendation was. How we would ultimately craft that is, you know, up to you all. But yeah, there was a few of the tree and landscaping things that I put at the end. These were in the section of sort of topic buckets for all of your consideration that would require some work and probably a couple months of discussion at the commission level. But yeah, just sort of put that out there. And if that's something we wanted to pursue, I can, or just get further detail on, I can
pull that together. If your arborist would maybe put a little bit of description as what this would actually mean and what the impact would be. Like, I don't know how you grow a canopy in 25% in 10 years. I don't know what it really means to do that. I mean, I don't know how many trees that is. I don't know what any of that means. And so just maybe putting a little bit of thought to, okay, this is what it would mean to our ordinances, and this is what would actually be implemented over that time. I would find that interesting to at least look at. Yep. And then we could decide if it's something to do or not.
So is the idea to identify big old trees, 100-year-old trees?
I believe so, is to sort of protect old growth trees, those being the ones that are sort of most resilient, that absorb the most carbon, and to sort of maintain those trees within the village.
I can make a comment based on my experience in Oak Park. So we had a huge Dutch elm tree on our parkway, which of course belongs to Oak Park. And I did my darndest to try and get Oak Park to treat the tree with a vaccine that they have. And they would rather chop the things down and let them die. So I paid $1,200 every other year to have that tree get shots, because almost every Dutch elm on our block was gone. And there was one directly across the street from us that was diseased. And my next door neighbor's tree was looking shaky, and we were trying to maintain that tree. So
yeah, I think it might be probably helpful to have just like a general forestry one sometimes.
Yeah. I'd like to understand how we do forestry in River Forest,
yes,
and if it's practical to do anything.
Yeah, more so than we're doing. Two main diseases, or yes, Dutch elm is a disease, emerald ash borer is a infestation. It's a actual insect that gets into the trees. So the ash borer treatments are fairly affordable to do every other year, given the number of ash trees we have and then the cost of the injections. Dutch elm is far more expensive. We would have to, and I think this is sort of our forestry crew's current, is to focus on the oldest trees with what resources we have now, in the oldest trees in the parkway.
What I was thinking. Our tree, now the people bought our house, I don't think they can afford to give the shot. So one of these days we're going to drive by there and that tree's going to be gone. But it's probably a 100-year-old tree, it would be my guess. So it's a shame to see that go.
Yeah. So, I will sort of put together some more detail on this for, you know, further consideration in the coming months. And even see if Brian, our superintendent, can sort of help me review it, or if he's available some evening. I'm honestly not sure, he lives quite a drive away, so I'm not sure. But I think this is one worth exploring further based on all of your comments. And then just the one section we had skipped over, I just did sort of explain things that were recommendations that these reports had made. That there is either some sort of formal process that already existed, or like for the, you know, additional bike signage and striping, a very easy ad hoc administrative process where if any of these sort of requests come in, they can easily be accommodated. So I sort of laid those out as well. Again, any comments you all may have, I'll include this whole report next month's meeting as well for any feedback you might have on, you know, the ones that were not recommended, the ones there was some sort of existing process for, and then obviously with the ones for further consideration, we will start with the trees and go from there.
Well, and, you know, Seth and I talked a little bit about, now it's time to get back working on Soul Smart.
Yes.
And pursuing that. So he's going to lay out what that looks like to us as well. And Seth, a few times you mentioned within the capital improvement plan, you've got the village has things laid out. It'd be interesting to just see what all that is. You know, so, you know, it's like they're replacing blowers, you mentioned that, and we talked about other types of things just to see over time.
And so blowers and sort of smaller equipment like that doesn't get memorialized into our CIP, our big capital improvement plan. That is, you know, that's publicly available on the website. I can probably even pull it up here. But yeah, this is for any expenditures over $10,000. And gotta go through a web of things to get to it. any sort of $10,000 or more expense over the next 5 years. So we can see building improvements. It's sort of broken down by.
Yeah, I don't necessarily need to see line item, but be interested just to see that, you know, kind of how it's flowing into some of these things we're talking about, whether it be converting to LED, to converting to all electricity, you know, converting, just to see the kind of the general flow of it within the village plans. That's.
Well, and we had talked about that. I mean, you were the one that brought it up in the first place, as I recall, a couple of meetings ago, that, you know, what is each department doing toward this end? It'd be nice to be able to put together, again, a skeleton of,
yes.
You know, an outline. Yeah, right. Well, you know, maybe not every single, because I don't know how many departments are. If there's, you know, 100 departments, maybe.
There's four and a half.
All right. But in some sense, you know, in some general grouping, you know, like vehicles, equipment for whatever, office, I don't know. It'd be nice to be able to do that, because if you're going to walk the walk and talk the talk, wouldn't that be something good to put into a communication, maybe a monthly one, to say, hey, here's all the things your village is doing. You know, the police department's doing this, the office workers are doing that, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, that would be good. Yeah. So just sort of some sort of, I've got time.
I assume that could take a little while. It isn't something we don't need that for next meeting. I just think it'd be something great to shoot for.
Yeah.
Is there like a 5-year strategic plan or something on the web, or 3 years or something?
Or is it just one? There is a village like comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm. It's a few years old. I don't know how long of a stretch it is. That's pretty vast, I would say. And then in terms of the, you know, at least budget and financial stuff, there's the 5-year capital plan and then the annual budget.
And then anything under like the capital 10 grand is probably not shared at all, because it's just minor.
Yeah, expenses. It's usually categorized. Yeah. Okay. Just you can see it on the budget, just labeled as sort of equipment or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
I've got sort of an odd question, and I don't know where it fits in, but Oak Park is repaving a parking lot. I think it's the one on North Boulevard and Marion behind there, and they're putting in some kind of pavers or something. And at first I thought, why are they wasting money doing that? And then it occurred to me that maybe it was like the what they're doing in the alleys with the permeable.
Yeah. And
are we doing anything like that anywhere other than the alleys?
We had done it in the west lot by the Thatcher Metro Station, has permeable pavers. And then, you know, the last lot, the only lot that's been repaved since I've been with the village has just been the public works garage lot on the side of the building there. So that was just asphalt, because it's, you know, heavy trucks pulling in and out on the sides.
Sure, that makes sense.
But yeah, the next, there's a couple more set for, I don't know if it's repaving or reconstruction in the next couple of years. This lot just to the south of Village Hall here, and then one of the other lots, I'm not exactly sure which one. But yeah, the intention is, you know, especially, you know, if we can get, you know, Water Reclamation District grant funding to help with the cost, to do permeable whenever possible.
Because that seems like, in addition to the other, you know, what the departments are doing, that would seem like a good thing to call out too. If nothing else, we can certainly call out the alleys. I got to tell you, our alley is so much nicer looking. My unit, my kitchen, I have a balcony and it looks out on the alley. I'm on the backside of my building, and it's actually nice looking there, in addition to being, you know, ecologically sound.
And I don't have a pond every time it rains in my yard anymore. So it's amazing. It was the best thing that ever happened at my residence and, of course, my residence. So thank you.
I'll obviously keep this climate plan stuff as just a running thing on there. I'll work to, build out some more things and village recommendations. And then, trees and Soul Smart will be the some items coming down the pipe shortly. And then, moving on to the next item of business. Commissioner Haley had put together this draft survey for everyone. I did go ahead and just convert it to Word and then just watermark it all. But wanted to get everyone's feedback on how we wanted to put this out. We do have a Village SurveyMonkey account to easily create surveys, send them out. It can be included in potentially a monthly newsletter or a weekly newsletter or social media, and then get resident feedback. But really just wanted to see your all thoughts, input, edits, and then Jamie, if you have anything else you want to add.
It's very long. I didn't want it to be this long, but it just kept going and going. So I think it needs to be red penned and, but some of the I tried to have my husband answer questions and he didn't understand where it was leading to. So that's the reason why it ended up being way longer than anticipated. I tried to keep it at 10 questions and it just wasn't attainable.
Well,
so
I think that I thought about, could we break it up in two surveys? But then on the other hand, how far apart would you send them out? And are people willing to fill out two surveys? It is long, but it's all good stuff. So I think it all needs to be asked.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing I would say is that, and this goes back to my training about how to write surveys and how to ask people questions. There's a couple of questions where there's a lot of answers. Mm-hmm. And the general rule of thumb is 5 answers is about, and there's a few of them I'm wondering if we can, and the wording maybe could.
Yeah.
Yeah. It needs a little editing.
Yes.
But I think everything you've posed, I mean, they're all topics we want to know about. So
if you want to send me edits and I can just update it and send it again, is that good? Is that okay?
I'll take a crack at seeing if I can.
Yeah. I have one thought. I don't know if this would be beneficial in making it shorter. It's information we need, but when it asks the question and some of the questions, why haven't you, or what's holding you back? I don't know if we need that right now. We just need to know that they're not doing it, and that might shorten the survey, although I'm sure we would all really like to know why.
Well, actually, there's something else you can do. Now, I've used, I don't know if it was SurveyMonkey or another one of those things, but if you've got a question that's, you ask conditional on the answer to the previous question. So if you say, no, I don't do it, you only ask the question, why not? If they say no, the software, you can set that up that way so that it'll only open up that next question. And I don't know if there's much of that in here, but that's a way of shortening it up.
Yeah. I actually think that's the most valuable information is because that'll help us target
what
we need to communicate
We
need to communicate it to. I actually thought it was very good. I think as a survey using a tool, it'll go real quick. I don't think it takes somebody even with this length to spend more than 5 minutes on it. It's just ticking boxes, right?
Yeah.
So I have a few edits. I'll just hand them to you.
Yeah, sure.
But my only comment would be if there's anything in here, if there's a question in here that we're not going to use, I mean, how's it going to help us make a decision? I'd get rid of it. All right. And that'd be the only edit I would use. Things I call fun facts, right? So,
yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Fun to know, but okay, well, let's not, because that, it just takes away from it. But otherwise, I thought you did a nice job.
Great.
You've obviously written surveys before.
I was on a beach, so it's with a margarita in hand. So I was so sorry for any edits.
Yeah, I think it looks pretty good. I had a few thoughts, but I could just email it.
Yeah, sure.
Major.
Yep.
So,
the ones that had a lot of answers, I was thinking maybe just leaving like an open line and let them answer instead of checking a box. But then I was thinking, okay, the speed, if I had to answer, 15 questions and write it all out, I would close the survey down.
Well, and there's a challenge with making them fill it in. The tool will automatically, and I'm sure SurveyMonkey does that. I think we used a different one, but you can spit it out into a spreadsheet. You can count how many people answered A. If they answer in text, you can't get statistics out of it.
And they
so.
Use different words for the same thing.
Yep.
So
yeah.
Then you got to go back through and try
yeah,
it.
That's
and,
true.
Like,
yeah. And then you
like,
got
human beings
together.
Have to distill exactly. it. Yeah. So,
well, that's why there was some like that had like six or seven different choices and then another. And yeah, I tried to keep it as short as possible.
Depending on to your point, I didn't know you were a survey level. I was just off a meeting with, we're making a survey for something else. Anyway, she mentioned she makes surveys for a living or as part of her job. And she was like that it might be good to throw in a few just box questions or written responses, because then it makes them think a little about their answer. And I think Seth mentioned in a few previous meetings, like, not everyone responds to all the questions because it's just check boxes. Or I forgot what your phrasing was, but I don't know if.
Well, most surveys that I've been involved with, there's always something at the bottom that says, if there's something we didn't cover, you can put comments in. So it's always a good idea to give them at least that opportunity.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to get at specific pieces of information,
I think there were a few of these. There was the additional comments at the end of the leaf blower section.
And I think the question at the end. Yeah, other, please specify.
Yeah, leaf blower and I believe it was waste reduction head. And then additional comments at the very end for interested in sustainability topics. So there were three open-ended ones. Just from a sort of operations perspective and some of the stuff we were doing with leaf blowers, did we want to break out just the leaf blower questions into a survey to get out sooner? And then
we could do that, I
see
suppose.
What the response rate is for that, and then come back and.
How many leaf blower questions were there?
I think it was just three or
three.
Four.
Can't remember.
Five. I've got it here. Okay. Yeah.
Well, to Gary's point, what are we most interested in knowing first? if we were going to break it out in more than one survey, you wouldn't want to do it too close together.
Yeah.
So if we were wanting to do that, what do we want to know first?
Well, but we could get this whole thing out next month, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would. I mean, I think, we get the kind of the draft of what we've talked about tonight on the blowers. We'll relay that with the draft of whatever we get from, Kelty and Company. And then this, I think we have plenty of time to still meet October,
yep.
what we're talking about. So I would just say, instead of confusing people, I would not be opposed to kicking something out in one of our news items that, hey, watch for the survey that'll be coming out, with some fancy words. The commission wants to learn from you and all that kind of stuff.
That's a good idea.
And it'll be out in September, right? And so, watch for that and however it's going to get to them. I don't even know how that will, you're going to distribute it, but that'd be my thoughts. I don't know what anybody else thinks.
So we do not have an item set for the October monthly newsletter, which would go out October 4th. That is a potential. I don't know if that would be.
Well, we're talking about this going out in September. So,
we would need to, I could, it would need would to be likely be in a weekly newsletter then.
Right. Just giving them a heads up.
Yep.
Yeah, because it wouldn't have to be a very long the 100 words would be fine in a weekly for that purpose. I think.
And then the link to the survey from there.
Well, I would just give them a heads up. Hey, watch in September. You just prep them that this is coming out. And then, because by next meeting, this should be done. Yeah. And we kind of come in and give it a blessing or any last minute little tweaks, and off it goes.
Well, Jamie, can I suggest this? Get everybody. Oops.
Watch out.
I'm Italian. I'm Italian. I can't help it. Get the other changes.
And I could email it out to you guys.
And then send it to me and let me see about if there's conditional questions, maybe the order, maybe I can, you know, apply my survey stuff so that whoever, are you going to do it or somebody else?
Yeah, I would be the one to.
You know how to do all that fancy stuff, right?
Yeah. So I did the very short survey for the contractors for the landscaping. Any of you on the compost program, I'm the one who writes that survey every year. So,
Because I can format it. And if there's any conditional questions that only show up if you answer no up here or whatever, I can, you know, I can set it up to make it easy for you to just zip through it.
I have it all in Excel. It's pretty.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Yeah. But I'll let you incorporate Gary and if anybody else had any changes first, and then send it to me.
Okay. Great.
I don't know. I guess this is a good place to bring it up, but is there any movement? I know a few meetings back, we all were like, yeah, splitting composting bins is a good idea. Would that be something to put in the survey? Have you all made progress on that?
It is live. It is up. People can sign up for it. We got our first couple of households signed up last week. So a couple of households next door to each other, I believe on Franklin Avenue. I could be wrong, but
I think that should be a question. Would you split compost bins and then, or maybe not, I don't know. And then like, give them the link and
they can already do it.
It's just raising awareness. It's
I'm losing track. Was that mentioned in one of our community
in one of the weekly newsletters? It should have been shared on social media, and then it's being plugged at the end of the food waste monthly newsletter.
I knew it was somewhere,
so that'll be going out in the monthly first Friday in September.
So going back, you guys are going to either hand me something or email me. Does everybody have my email address, or should I? I guess I did email everybody about the visit, I believe. So you can reply to that email and I can incorporate all the changes and I'll send it over to you. So do you think in the next week, is that attainable for everybody to email me any changes? So I'll maybe by the end of the weekend.
Got my email address?
Yes, I believe it. Okay. So, yes.
I'll make sure before we leave that you do.
Okay. Okay, great.
Then in terms of communications and other business, I think we are... I've sort of shown the list of planned upcoming newsletter items for the next month. We should be good there. I will plan to plug in something just sort of prepping that there is going to be a survey and the commission is looking for feedback. Plug that into one of the monthly newsletters, or may just, you know, plug that in as a sentence at the end of a couple of them, even just to sort of get general awareness. I did include a quarterly waste report from LRS, so I included their most recent report to me, which is the last page, and then I had drafted up a memo, made a few charts with all the historical data I could find. One of the things raised when the commission, or the village board, I should say, had discussed the compost splitting provision was if increasing compost offsets the amount of waste tonnage being used. Granted, it's not super easy to track because the compost includes yard waste that is likely a bulk of the weight of the going in the compost bins. But it does not, at least looking at the information we have here, to offset it. So, just wanted to present all this information to you all. I looked at it annually, monthly, as well as quarterly. I might, in a few months, tweak the quarterly and do it seasonally of, December through February and March through May, June through August, and September through November, to see if there's any sort of different changes there. But I think the main focus will be on compost subscription numbers, and then including tracking future signups for the compost sharing program, and then the total waste tonnage, the amount going to the landfill directly. Put that all in the memo for you all, and then that was all I had. So did anyone else have any comments on that or any other items?
Just, I have a quick question.
Yep.
And maybe I missed it. So the question was the compost tonnage, if it goes up, is the waste tonnage going down?
Correct.
But the compost tonnage includes yard waste.
Yes.
Where is yard waste? Is that in the organics tonnage?
Yes.
Then?
So okay. Organics is compost and yard waste collected.
Okay. So would it make sense to add the waste and the organics trend and compare it to the compost to see if it's, or did you do that already?
Yeah. So I compared the organics, because the food scraps and the waste, or the food scraps and the yard waste, are not separated out. So waste is landfill, organics is anything going into a compost bin. And then recycling is obviously.
Yeah, you can probably kind of see it if you look on the monthly one that he shows there, because from April through October, I think, maybe November, you can do the yard waste. But then it's all compost, basically.
Yep.
So you can see that shift. The compost basically hugs the zero. I know it's not zero, but.
Yeah, there will be. You'll see some spikes in January just from holiday green disposal. Yeah, that's basically all trees and wreaths. Or at least the most recent spike. The others remain fairly flat.
Yeah. And you probably won't know the answer to this one, Seth, but from beginning of time, which is 07. Recycling, if you go to the top chart, it's been on a downward trend. In fact, it dropped quite a bit after the first year, and then another big drop started in 2014. Do you know what would cause that? Did people just figure out what recycling was? And
I honestly don't know. I was trying to sort of sift through it. Once you get back far enough, it's just annual one-page reports that literally just list out the numbers.
But it continues to go down.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a...
I worked at Pepsi in 14, and I feel like there was a change in plastic for our water bottles to be less dense, I guess, potentially.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It could all be, because all tonnage, too. It's not... Yeah,
yeah, and the dip sort of in 08 to 09, 2010 might even just be recession related, of less general consumption. The 14, that might make sense. And then, it's been, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but relatively flat from there on out.
We didn't have any major population shift, did we?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everything... I would say population wise,
the number of people in the village remain, and households and everything, remains fairly constant, doesn't it?
Yeah, I will plan no sort of general reports next month, but the following month I'll have another EV one, and then after that another waste one for you all, and just keep doing that on a quarterly basis. That's all I have. So unless anyone else has any other business.
I sent out the LRS visit. Everybody got it. I think originally the dates and the days were incorrect. So it's the Friday. Oh gosh. It's on my calendar. Sorry.
Friday, the
October 11th. Yes.
That's a firm date.
That's a firm date. Yep. 10 to 2. I'm sorry. 10 to noon, I believe. Can't find it now. Sorry.
Should we email you if that we can make it now? I'm in.
So if you need additional information, let me know. I do have a an invite, I believe, from LRS, so I can send it to all of you as well. Okay.
And there's not a limit. I didn't respond.
They did say, I think we're like limited to 12 people, and then the age limit, you have to be 18 because of insurance, you know, liability. Those were the two. And then they asked us to wear closed-toed shoes, jeans, and something else off the top of my head.
What did you say? What kind of shoes?
Closed-toed. So no sandals. Yeah. And I think I don't know if you walk on any catwalks that are grading, so I would probably steer away from high heels as well. So just in case.
I have worn those 30 years. Yeah.
So sturdy shoes or boots, like long pants, and then I can't remember what the other one was, but it's in the email and I can resend it for everybody's attention. So I don't think we necessarily have to RSVP, but there is a max of, I think, 10 or 12 people. But I don't think we invited 10 or 12 people. But I'm excited, so thank you.
In that case, we need next meeting is, I should note that, 1 minute here, September 10th. So, all right. And then, yeah, we need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion.
A second.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Vizi?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Kadlec?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
All right. We are adjourned at 8:11 p.m.